are back. It is Wednesday, January the 13th, 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears and Glenn Coble with you here on WWGH Radio. Should mention that when this program is over, A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on today. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon tonight, 6:10 until 7 p.m. And a quick programming note, next Wednesday will be Inauguration Day, January the 20th. We will be here. We will be on the air all morning as we normally are, but we will have a television going in studio like we did during the election. We will tell you if you don't want to watch the inauguration on TV. We will inform you what's going on as it happens, because it will be on in the studio. Glenn, next week we'll be sitting here just like the day after the election, watching the inauguration happen.
I was just checking my phone to make sure it is next Wednesday. And you're right, it is next Wednesday. By the way, Dr. Feinman is listening, and he pointed out that Schumer is only 70. So you're way off.
A kid.
Yeah, he's a baby.
He's a baby.
Well, compared to Feinman and Coble, he's a baby.
Well, and as I said, when that fact was brought to my attention, he has not aged well.
No, and nobody, as I mentioned to you in the break, President Trump has not aged well either, but I've never seen a president age well during their
tough job.
First 4 years. Oh,
tough
yeah.
job.
And Trump has gained a lot of weight, and he's really starting to show his wrinkles, and that's got to be bad for him, because he really, that's important to him. Yeah, Obama went almost gray overnight as soon as he became president, and it's happened to all of them. Even Clinton started going gray while he was in his first term. And
W. Bush got a little grayer, but not a whole lot of
change. Yeah, he didn't go bad, yeah, but he did change a little. Yeah.
You know, I think it's interesting that one of the people voting for impeachment, one of the five Republicans today in the House, is Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney's daughter.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Feinman says he has no wrinkles.
Schumer or Dr. Feinman?
Well, I guess he's saying Dr. Feinman doesn't have any wrinkles.
You know, I've never looked that closely at either of them.
And I hope you don't.
And I never will. So I'm going to have to take his word on that one. But, you know, it's one of those things where you can clearly see that the Democratic Party right now, the leadership, which is in power as of January the 20th, is rather old. When your youngest member in leadership is 70...
You know, yeah, the leadership is, yeah. And I think that's why it was brought up on the 60 Minutes bit, because it looks old, but if you take both parties and put them in a giant picture, the Republican Party looks like all old white guys, and the Democratic Party is pretty across the board.
Now, we're going to have a disagreement on this.
Okay.
Our representative Jim Jordan is not old. He's a big deal Republican right now.
Yeah, he is.
Because of where he is.
At least he thinks he is.
Mike Pence is not an old man. And he's probably right now the front runner for the Republican nomination in the next election.
Yeah, but he has that fly that sticks in his white hair.
But he still is not an old man.
He looks a lot older than he is. He's only in his 50s, right?
Right. Yeah. So he's not an old white man. The top vote today in the House by a Republican, Liz Cheney's a woman.
Yeah.
Murkowski, who called for the resignation, is a woman.
Yeah.
The Republican Party has...
I'm just saying, if you take the a giant team picture of both parties, I think it would be shockingly honest.
Well, in leadership, oddly enough, if you look at it, and it's weird to say this, but President Trump was younger than Joe Biden, and Nancy Pelosi replaced Paul Ryan, who was much younger than her.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Now, Paul Ryan showed his age, too.
He left town. He had enough.
Yeah.
He said, and before him, it was John Boehner, who was also younger than Nancy Pelosi.
Dr. Feinman corrected me. Pence is 61.
But it's not all old people.
Not old. Well, yeah, but
I mean, and by the way, it's interesting to me that the two and Nancy Pelosi is an octogenarian.
Yeah.
But the two oldest, one is a Democrat, one is a Republican. It's Grassley and Feinstein.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you take the team picture and look at both of them, I think it'll be obvious the difference.
I
the majority of them.
I do think, though, there has been a change.
Not much.
I don't know about diversity, but gender-wise, you know...
I once did, when I was running for office, which was only 2 years ago, I did a study of the Ohio House, and almost all of them were old white, not, and I'm saying old, over 40, maybe over 50 white guys, most of them. And most of the a lot of the Democratic Party in Ohio were diverse. I mean, it was much more diverse.
Well, I thought it was interesting that down in Georgia, of the two Senate runoff races that we had last week, the only woman was in the Republican Party who was running in those races.
Yeah, she was great looking, too. Well, she
was sexist.
But you know, somebody said to me, she might have been great looking, but if you take a washcloth and wipe her face off, she will be just as ugly as the rest.
Well, I'm not sure if you got a washcloth near Pelosi.
No, absolutely not. You know, or Leslie Stahl for that matter. All of those people that have to be on TV a lot. It's interesting to see them when they come on, and I don't care whether they're Democratic or Republican. If they have to come on, you know, and they get surprised and they have to come on without their makeup person, they look a lot different.
You know, I was, and this is not political at all, it's just temperament. Nancy Pelosi is a tough lady.
Yeah.
But it's clear why people don't like her after you watch the Leslie Stahl interview.
Well, she's tough.
She's tough, but,
people don't like tough women.
But a lot of people will say it's because she's a woman.
I think that's part of it.
Well, I don't remember Paul Ryan or Boehner or Pence or even Schumer, for that matter, answering questions like... She was very abrupt with Leslie Stahl.
All of
You've
the
seen,
above.
Oh,
yeah.
All, do that?
All of them have done
really?
That.
Really? I'm going to have to see some footage.
I think you don't notice it because they're men and you expect them to be aggressive.
What is a moment that sticks? I mean, I've never seen anybody tear up a speech. Pelosi did.
Yeah.
She is an abrupt person, man or woman who had done that. It would seem abrupt.
I'm certain, and I have no way of doing it right here and now on this spur of the moment thing, but I bet there have been things like that done throughout history.
Well,
there have been people that have been hit over the head with canes.
But I'll tell you why it doesn't matter gender with me. Jim Jordan is abrupt. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely abrupt.
Disgustingly so.
But Pelosi's abrupt too. And I don't think it has anything to do with her being a woman. I think she's 80.
That's why she gets criticized, because she's a woman. And women are supposed to be nice and genteel.
But we criticize Jordan. And you know what? We criticize Jordan on his clothes. We say, oh, why's he got the shirt sleeves on? And why doesn't he wear a jacket? He's no woman.
I'm confused.
If we criticize Nancy Pelosi about her clothes or her personality, it's because she's a woman. If we criticize Jordan about his personality or his clothes, well, he's not a woman, so we're just criticizing.
Okay,
I think you're
agreeing with me.
No, I'm just you say that if we criticize Nancy Pelosi about her attitude or her clothing, we're doing it solely because she's.
Oh no, no, I didn't. Never did I say solely. I think it is just a shadow that helps. People will go and say she's a B word, whereas, and people will say, oh, you're. That's really rough. But if you call Jordan an A word, A-H word, it's okay because he's a guy and it'll bounce off of him. I don't know.
Isn't that wrong?
I think calling people names is always wrong.
Right.
Now, I've done it, and I will continue to do it on a particular person in office right now.
There are a lot of women in the House who are... people don't feel that way about, and they speak their mind.
Yeah, but Dr. Feinman also raises another interesting point.
Go ahead.
Vice President-elect Harris has received an awful lot of criticism because she's a tough woman.
Right, but see, I guess what I'm saying, I'm not saying that they're not, they are tough, and I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad trait.
I think that's a good trait for all politicians.
But when we say that we're only saying that because they're women, I don't think that that's true.
I don't think it's true either. I think it shadows, it colors people's opinion, because we're not used to women being tough. We're used to women being sweet and motherly and matronly and all that sort of thing. And I don't think it ever jumps way out. And some people love to say he or she hates women, and that's why they're saying that. I don't think it ever gets to that level. I think a lot of people use it to criticize people. Oh, she's a woman. That's the way women are. Or it may be just something that's been inherited in our genes, because we've always thought of women as being matronly.
I'll give you an example. It was very, it was even made into a song. When Maxine Waters, I forget, who was she questioning? The guy from the Fed, Mnuchin, I believe. Yeah. And remember, he's talking, and she just keeps saying, reclaiming my time, reclaiming my time, reclaiming my time. Well, you know what? If that had been a man doing that, that would have been considered, it would have made the evening news. It was just an offbeat moment.
Well, it did make the evening news.
Right, right. But if that had been, if that had been Jim Jordan, if that had been Grassley, if that had been any of them, it would have made news, because it's, I'm not saying it's wrong, it's just abrupt. It's an out of the ordinary thing.
And people don't want women to be abrupt.
Well, I don't think people want, I don't think I would have wanted Grassley doing that either.
Male politicians to be abrupt when they disagree with somebody. We're a little surprised when Nancy Pelosi pushes back.
I'm not surprised at it.
Oh, not anymore. Think we were.
Isn't it interesting? I mean, we can say tone of voice, and we can say opinion, but she did tear up that speech.
Yeah,
and even
I was
her,
glad she did.
Yeah, but a lot of people in her own party said, you didn't have to do that on camera. Why did you do that? That was,
it made her point. frankly, that speech was full of crap.
Right, so. But no Speaker of the House in 45 other presidents and many State of the Unions had ever done that. And that was Trump's fourth State of the Union. I never saw anybody else do that.
I think it just happened to catch her. It was in a position where she was so PO'd about all the lies that were being told that she just... that was what she could do. Now, as opposed to back in the 1800s, people getting up with their cane and crushing somebody's head with a cane, happened.
But I'm saying in modern times, I don't know.
There have been fist fights in modern times.
Right, but, okay, do you remember a few years ago when Obama was giving his State of the Union and the guy stood up and said,
You lied.
You lied. Nobody thought, and that made the news, and everybody thought he was awful.
Yes.
So, but that wasn't gender-related, and I don't think Nancy Pelosi tearing up that speech is gender-related.
No, I don't either.
Oh, then we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then what's gender-related, I guess, is what I'm trying to figure out.
The way people don't like that she's a tough lady. I think that's gender related.
Well, people in California like her.
Yeah, oh, absolutely do. And I like her. Now, I didn't used to like her because, and I will admit to the fact, one of the reasons why I didn't like her is I thought she was too abrupt. But now I like her because her abruptness is based in reality, I think.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? You go back and look at the meetings that Schumer and she have had with Trump. Schumer is much calmer.
Yes, he is.
Her facial expressions are there. The way she referred to the president was different than Schumer. I think she just has a more, her temper is much shorter than a lot of other people's.
Well, yes, I agree with that, and I think that was to their advantage. Schumer, I don't think would have gotten anything out of that meeting that they had with Trump, but Pelosi did get out of that meeting with.
She had a majority in her house, though.
Yeah, but the fact he had a majority. Well, he didn't have a majority in his house, but she could do something and did do something, whereas Schumer was kind of mealy-mouthed about it, and I really think her aggressiveness was a positive for the Democratic side of things, whereas I think his sitting there and smiling, which he did, was not so positive. I like people that will say it the way they believe it is.
But I do think at this point, when it comes to things like that, I don't think people are looking at there's a man and a woman sitting with the president. I think they say there's two Democrats sitting with the president, and one is being a little more laid back than the other.
I absolutely agree with you. I don't think anybody says there's a man and a woman. They think of two Democrats out loud. I think it's back in the back of their head. I really believe that.
I don't think we can say she's a kind, nice-tempered... We got a break. We're going to be
okay. You know, Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, Wednesday, January the 13th, 2021, 31 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open if you'd like to call in on any of this, 740-383-9944. Does being a man or a woman matter when it comes to temperament? Because we're talking about temperament.
If you don't think so, well, I know you're not married, so.
Well, I can say that, if you would shoot a name at me, man or woman, I would tell you if I thought they had the best temperament in the world, and it wouldn't be based in their gender. It'd be based on their temperament.
Okay.
Like, I don't think anybody watching the 60 Minutes interview thought that Nancy Pelosi was a well-tempered person.
I was a little embarrassed by her aggressiveness.
Yes. Yeah. That's it.
But I was also happy that she stood up for what she believed.
But I think had that been Chuck Schumer, had that been Jim Jordan, had that been President Trump, it would have got the same flack. Well, President Trump did get the same flack. He walked out on the same reporter 3 months
yeah,
ago.
Which was kind of interesting.
And he was ballyhooed about it.
Ballyhooed as in
as
positive?
As in, boy, he doesn't have a great temperament. He can't take it.
Okay, I've
you know?
Always thought of ballyhooed as being praised. But
I think he...
maybe by some
I
of
think
his
just,
people.
Oh, I'm sure they did praise him for leaving. Get away from that fake media.
Yeah.
You know? But the same thing happened.
I don't know what to say. I think you and I disagree, and I have twice your years, so I'm going to stand on the ground that I'm wiser.
Well, I'm always trying to figure out, because I think the two issues, as I said during the break, that will define us as a society are race and gender, and I am not sure if people make decisions based on gender. I think people can attribute a trait to a gender, but I don't think that it's based on the gender. Like, I don't think there, if you can say a nice, beautifully tempered person who gets a rap for being abrupt, I don't see that just based on their gender. But I do see people who are abrupt being called abrupt.
I don't think anybody ever will publicly base anything on gender because they know that's not politically correct. I believe in the back of their head, and I believe most of these people don't believe they're making a generalization because of gender, but I think in the back of their head they remember a sweet little old lady. They don't remember that tough B word that used to be their second grade teacher. You know,
well, could be, but I mean, does anybody really look back on their football coach with anger? They look back. Oh, that was coach.
No,
most people do though.
Well, and I was in intercollegiate athletics for 18 years, so I have an opinion of football coaches.
Let me
that
say
I
this.
Probably shouldn't.
Who's going to say that Bobby Knight was not abrupt? Very abrupt.
Oh, yeah.
Matter, his whole career was
I
abrupt.
I can give you stories about him.
But most of his players were the people who ran to his defense when he would be accused of something.
Yeah, the ones that didn't were kind of like the Republicans in the Senate right now. They were afraid to say what they believed.
But he is abrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't,
and he's one of those AHs that I don't like.
Right, but I don't think it's because he's a man. I just think he's abrupt.
Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah. So that's all.
And I don't think we judge men. I think we judge women more than we judge men by their sex.
Before we move on then, though, who is a woman who we call abrupt who's not?
I don't know these people. So.
Well, just anybody.
I don't know them. I mean, I really don't know the background of all the people that I would consider abrupt.
And I'm not even sure Nancy Pelosi is abrupt, but she was abrupt in that interview.
She is a devout Christian.
Catholic, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. And a Christian person, and I believe she's devout enough that she believes in what she's in her religion. And I don't think that she would ever be considered a bad person. I think she's always trying to be good and careful and kind.
Well, is abrupt a bad trait?
Boy, that's a good question.
I don't think it makes you a bad person.
No, it doesn't. So, you can be abrupt, and matter of fact, Martin Luther King could be abrupt at times.
Right.
John Kennedy could be abrupt at times.
But when I hear people knocking her, because I think at this point she probably is the most visible Democrat, and when people knock her, it's not surprising to me why they're knocking her from the other party, because there is a lot of baggage there, like tearing up the speech, like sitting in that meeting with the president with a scowl on her face when Schumer did not, like the 60 Minutes interview the other night, those moments where she can be abrupt. I understand why people who are Democrats don't like President Trump. He's very abrupt, but his party followed him for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's
just, I don't know where you're going, so I'm gonna.
Well, just that. Listen. Just that. It's not a mystery.
I have been in. Okay, I'm gonna say I have been in bar rooms where I've gotten in disagreements with people, and it could just be the alcohol talking, the beer talking, but I've heard an awful lot of people say, Nancy Pelosi is a B word.
All right.
But they never say Jim Jordan is. Whatever.
No, but I've heard plenty of people call him other words.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Mary Ellen was on this show yesterday.
She doesn't like him, I'm sure.
No. You know.
But I think the B word, it tends to be directed towards a female, whereas AH is directed towards male and female.
Well, that's true, but I think a lot of people do call Jim Jordan a lot of names.
But I can't think of a male pejorative name.
Oh, well.
What would be a name that you would call somebody that's a male if you don't like them? That you couldn't use both ways. And you can't use the B word both ways unless the person, and there are a lot of people that do this, if the person is gay, they use that term.
Jerk?
That's not very pejorative.
You don't think? You think no. Jerk's a compliment?
I think it's a neutral word.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
So if I said, you're a jerk, you would take that as, okay.
No, I'd think you didn't like me.
Right.
Yeah. But it's not like saying you're to a woman, you're a bee. Or saying to African-American, you're an N-word. It's not quite to the right, the height of that one, the B-word, but it's pretty bad for... There is only one word that a woman can be called that is as high as the N-word for African-Americans, and it starts with a C. So.
But, you know, I think all the other bad words can be used on men. I think the only one that we're talking about here is specific to women.
Yeah, well, and that's all I was saying is that... when you go to a bar and you listen to people who hate Pelosi, they will almost inevitably get to that word.
But I think they would also call the person who's at the bank who treats them poorly the same thing.
Only if they're female.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think that's a female word.
Okay.
I don't know.
Where are we going?
Isn't it a female dog? Isn't that the word?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know that you would call, I don't know that any of the other words are exclusive to males. I mean, even the definition of that word is female. Female dog.
Yeah, and if you call a dog, which is a dog, a male is a dog. A female is the B word.
Right, but people don't refer to them like that. They say, these are my dogs.
Oh,
Susie and Eddie.
If you talk to dog people, they do.
Well, I don't have those conversations.
But they do it with love. Well, in that case.
Well, see, then I don't know. All I know is that the bottom line, regardless of gender, she definitely was abrupt on Sunday, and I don't know how that's going to play coming with this Sunday.
You know what I'd like to see, and I was castigated this week on Facebook by a young man who I really care a lot about, and he told me he couldn't understand why he ever voted for me. Well, I hope that we can get to a point where we are a little bit less hateful over these things that really don't mean anything. Whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat really doesn't mean anything. What I believe in means something. If I believe in the goodness of mankind, which I do, that's one thing. If I believe that I should get rich off of poor people, that's another thing. I think we need to get to the point where we look at people in a thoughtful way, rather than look at them to immediately put them in a labor.
Do you, though, remember the conversation we had? Now the show we did last Wednesday was right before the Capitol breach.
Okay. Yes, it was.
And
right
a great portion,
As it was happening.
And one of the great conversations we had last week was because we felt that the Senate was going to go Democrat, and it looked like it did. Democrats not spiking the ball to cause anger.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that the ball was spiked last Wednesday. I don't think it was. But I think that this impeachment, if it's going to be hard to explain it to somebody 20 years from now.
I think 20 years from now it'll be more understandable than it is right now.
I don't know. I think people are if it achieves something, maybe. If it goes down in defeat, I think people are going to say...
I think we have to judge the motivation, and I think the motivation is not good. I think the motivation is to teach him a lesson.
Spiking the ball, in a way.
Kind of, yeah.
And that's what I worry about, because if you do that, when we know... You know, if you got to bring in that much security today to have the vote, and you're calling in the National Guard, at least here in Ohio, for what you think is going to happen on Sunday, you know... You feel you're doing something that's going to enrage people.
I think that I'm not sure that it's spiking the ball so much as it's a response to the fact that Mr. Pence would not do what he should do, because this president is clearly out of control. And I think since he did not evoke the 25th Amendment, I think that's why. I think they were forced into doing it. Now, maybe they shouldn't have said they were going to do it if he didn't, but that's another story to be fought over.
Well, it's going to be interesting, because a lot of it's going to come down to the speech he gave last Wednesday, because that's the case. Did he incite that riot?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, it's...
Well, and he also had Giuliani up on the stage incite the riot.
Now they can face charges.
Yeah.
But the impeachment's being brought against Trump, not Giuliani, not his son.
Right.
So, did what President Trump say incite that riot? Now, he said, march down to the Capitol.
I'll be with you.
Which he wasn't. I'll march down there, and don't let them steal this election.
Be strong. He told him to be strong.
So is that out the windows and...
I think his words were carefully chosen to not put him in that bind. And I think that's probably a good thing that his speechwriters put it that way.
Right, and the next day, he did give a concession speech.
But he was also seen enjoying the fighting and the evil that was going on.
You know what I think Trump enjoys? If I had to look, I think he enjoys that this many people follow him.
I'm sorry. Those shirts that popped up bright on your
shirts,
screen
bright
threw
shirts.
Me off.
I mean, I think that he has this. I think Trump cares about crowd size. I think Trump cares about what people are willing to do for him.
Yeah.
I think that's what he cares about.
Yeah. He cares about himself.
So him getting excited about that or happy doesn't shock me.
Oh, it didn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
But I think it's more fuel to the fire that that's what he wanted to happen.
You know,
if it hadn't happened, I think he would have been disappointed.
I don't know about
that. No, we don't know.
We're going to break. Hey, Ted, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after signing a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
We're back here, WWGH Radio. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If you want to comment, and it can be different than our opinions here today, call in and give them. That's why we are here.
Yeah.
And also, do want to remind everybody, A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble comes up after this show from 12:10 to 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond today, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 to 7 p.m. tonight on this station.
From A to Z, on
from
opinions.
A to Z. And that's what you want.
Absolutely is what we want. We want to talk about both sides of the coin, not just one side and the edge.
Well, I think if you sit and agree all the time, then it's bad.
Oh, I do too.
But I don't think, this is a funny story. One time I was doing radio.
I'll be the judge of that.
Get ready. Get ready to laugh. Belly laugh. Well, one time I was doing a radio show with somebody, and they were disagreeing with something I was saying, and it was just something silly, but it was fine, and it was okay. And then when the show was over, I don't know if they really felt the way they did or not, but they backed off by saying, "I just do that to disagree with you on the air because that's more entertaining." Well, I don't know that it is. I don't know that that is entertaining, because if you're only doing it for that purpose, then I don't think it is entertaining.
I listen to our show quite often on the replay. I listen to it for two things. I listen to see if I'm telling you what I honestly believe and not what I... That. I do not believe that I should get on and just disagree with you.
Disagree.
Yeah, I don't think that's good. And the other thing I found is I listen to it to see how many times I laugh and how I hate my laugh on the radio.
Oh, you laugh big on this show.
No, I laugh all the time on this show, unfortunately.
Well, the thing of it is that if you would go through these shows that we have done, you won't find much of my opinion. What you will find is questions. Like I'll say, why is that abrupt?
I think people can kind of understand what your opinion is.
You think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe
get asked an awful lot. Like during the election, I always get asked a ton, who do you vote for?
Oh,
which way are you leaning?
None of their business.
It is none of their business, but the fact that they don't know is interesting to me.
Yeah. And if you asked me, I have a very definite opinion about how you voted. But I don't know.
Right, and that's good.
Yeah.
Because I think what you have to do, again, the conversation we started with about news being bias. Reading the news is not bias. It's when you say, my opinion, I feel. You know, that's not news.
Right. Now, I'm listening to It Was Said, which is a blog, or what are they called? Not blogs. It's a... It's a radio show.
Podcast.
Podcast. Written by John Meacham, who I really liked to listen to. And that's the type of show that I listen to get opinions. And but he tries to give opinions based on facts, which I really enjoy. I've listened to podcasts in the last few weeks. It's what I do while I'm walking on my treadmill. But I've listened to him about all the way from John Kennedy to I'm trying to think Reagan. He's pretty honest with both ways, and I really enjoy listening to that.
You know what, and I love people who have an opinion. I mean, clearly, if you listened to this show last week, we had Joe Brown, who was clearly a Trumper, and you had Sam Donaldson and Eleanor Clift, who were clearly more toward the liberal side.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I want to know why they feel the way they do. See, to me, what they're feeling is not all that important to me. If you like President Trump, good. If you like the Democrats, good. If you like the Republicans, good. I want to get to the why, because I think we don't get to the why very often. No. I'm much more interested in that.
About the why not?
Well, but why you don't like somebody?
Yeah.
I think it becomes the same thing, because if you tell me, for example, let's say you're a Republican, and you say I like the Republican Party because they are pro-life and because my parents were Republicans.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of know the why not then, because you're not pro-choice and your parents were not Democrats. So you kind of get the answer to that. But I think that. And I like comment Sam Donaldson, Eleanor Clift, Joe Brown. They're all commentators. They come on to give their opinions.
Right.
So this is not a condemnation of those people. But I always wonder, if you constantly are giving the opinion one way or 90%, I know what you're going to say. Now, you can say it 1,000 different ways. But I wonder how much of that is indoctrinated in your opinion.
No, I agree with you on that, and I've been fighting with myself ever since I've done my show, A Progressive Life. I've been fighting with myself to find a way to stay not neutral, but to stay open-eared, open-minded.
Well, it's interesting to me because I look at a lot of things, and I think, you know, I'm not sure if we had this on the air or not, but it's might as well because it happened after the show last week, so I know we haven't talked about it here. So maybe we didn't talk about it on air. When the thing happened at the Capitol last week, I had been saying for a long time, we had many conversations during the Trump presidency about everything Trump did was an atrocity. Everything. It seemed as if. When he got impeached the first time, it's an atrocity that he would talk to that foreign leader like that. When he lied about crowd size, that's an atrocity about that. When he lied about...
saying the hyperbole has gone way off the
right. Yeah. And when the real atrocity happened, which was last week,
yeah,
that was a real character atrocity. People's lives were in danger. Something happened that had not happened in this country. It was unprecedented for this to happen. That was the atrocity. But you know what? Nobody will even invoke the 25th Amendment because a lot of those people, a lot of those Republicans, except the five that are going to vote for impeachment today, a lot of those people are saying, we've done this how many times now during his presidency? So even though they know it's different, we've been saying atrocity, atrocity, atrocity.
We've kind of numbed ourselves.
Yeah, right? So, it's another thing.
Well, that's why the only atrocity I ever tried to point out as an atrocity with Mr. Trump was 20,000 lies. That was, I've always said, if he would tell us the truth, I might disagree with him on his opinions of giving the rich people more money in taxes, but I would at least honor the fact that he is our president. But the constant lying and changing of the tune.
But you know, this happened to Bill Clinton too, I felt that Bill Clinton, from the time he was running for office, the affairs, he had to do a whole interview 6 months before, or 11 months before the election. I remember it was right after the Super Bowl in 92 on the Jennifer Flowers incident. Mm-hmm. And then we had Monica Lewinsky 8 years or 6 years later. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we had Catherine Willey and Juanita Broderick and just all these people accusing him. And then they accused him of Whitewater. And he was investigated the entire time he was in office. So when the actual event where he did lie under oath, where he did break the what he's supposed to do, I don't want to use the word, you know, violated the Constitution because they didn't remove him. But when that moment came, the Republicans did control the Senate, and they didn't vote to remove him because everything had been awful with Clinton. So when the real law-breaking happened, I think people were desensitized, just like they are now.
Yeah, but his were always, and he had a problem, obviously, but lying about sexual affairs.
Or having them.
I don't think he was ever accused of rape. I don't think he was ever accused of having sex with somebody that didn't want to have sex with him, whereas the current president has, and it hasn't been proved one way or the other, so I'm not going to say he has actually, but he's been accused of all that. Plus, he's lied about everything else, and that's why Bill Clinton didn't lie about stuff. Well, I'm sure he did lie about stuff, but he didn't lie about 20,000 times.
No, but I think that when we are constantly, everything is unprecedented, and that's kind of how
I hate that term, don't
right.
you?
Right, well, it is, now we don't even really remember the Mueller report, but this was on the news every night for a year and a half, and nothing came of it. And here we are. I think, you know, I look at Trump's presidency, which is going to end one way or another in 7 days.
Yeah.
And I look at it and I think the impeachment. I look at the first impeachment. I look at the Mueller report. I look at the Russian interference. I look at the firing of his chiefs of staff and attorney generals. I look at phone conversations that were taped that he held with secretaries of state and say... Everything was such awful, unprecedented, that when the real unprecedented thing happened last week, wow, people were a little...
Well, he was kind of outrageous as a president, and I think some of those things were outrageous. But that's the problem. I've been watching news a lot for the last 4 years, but they're always trying to get an audience, and to get the audience... How many times have you seen breaking news pop on the screen and there is no breaking news?
But you know what term, and it goes both ways. They'll say, this is a disgrace, or this person is a disgrace.
Hyperbole is the coin of the realm of politics, unfortunately.
But the problem is, if you've called somebody a disgrace for 4 years, you think they're a disgrace for this too?
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell me something new.
Yeah.
You've been saying that for 4 years.
Yeah.
That's a problem. And I think when we get back, and I do think because, and I say this in however people want to take it, I think Joe Biden will be a president that doesn't have such a strong news cycle. I don't think.
I agree.
So when that happens, I don't think people are going to be calling Joe Biden names all the time. So if he does do something really bad, I think it will be regarded as really bad.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. We have called Wolf so many times in the last 4 years that the Wolf has been dead for two of those years.
Exactly. And how many times was this going to be it? He's going to be removed.
I never for a minute.
But people said it.
Well, and even after this, my wife thought he should be removed, and I agree with her. He should be removed. But I knew he would never be removed, or at least I felt he would never be removed. It's just not the way they do things.
Well, you know what? Next month, the Trump presidency will be over, and for the first time, they will look at his full presidency when they're putting together the greatest presidents of all time on President's Day, which those lists come out all the time, and we'll see where he ranks.
Yeah, I think it'll be close to the bottom.
You know, it'll be interesting. I'm interested to know. I think after last week, there's a good chance he will be either dead last or at the bottom, but I also think that people are going to give him credit for certain things that may make him better on the list than he would normally have been.
I'm trying to think of one.
I think a lot of, you know, Bill Clinton said it's the economy, stupid. And I think for 3 years, Trump like how he did it or not, he kept a good economy.
Yeah.
The unemployment number kept going down. He did go meet with Kim Jong-un, and a lot of people hated it, but even some Democrats praised him for it, that he did go over there and have the meeting. He did put Jerusalem as the cap. He did things that pleased some people.
And I agree we should keep our language connections open all the time. Going and talking to Un was probably a good idea. He also went and talked to the guy in the terrible guy. Anyway,
didn't get blown up. Remember, that was a theory at the time. We're going to get blown up.
I never thought that. But he did talk to some people that a lot of presidents wouldn't talk to, and I think it was a good idea. But he never did anything with those people. That's the problem.
And even in Eleanor Clift's words, when she was on right after the election, he did speed up the vaccine. It was warp speed.
That was his term.
And she seems to feel that he should be given credit for that.
Well, I'll give him credit for that if he actually did that.
Right. So there's those things.
It's also sitting on the shelf right now because of him. But
I think people will look at those things. But I remember Kim Jong-un, and I would love to go back and listen to the tapes of this station at the time, because that was another disgrace.
Now, see, I don't think you will ever find...
I don't think it was you.
No, it wasn't
but
me.
But people were.
But I don't think anybody will ever find that I criticize a president for talking. You can talk to the world's worst person as the president, I think, and it's fine, because you're trying to get an understanding.
But do you remember the press he got on that? He's the worst person. He's a disgrace. He's meeting with this guy who's got prisoners over there and treats these people awful. Well, hey, we partnered up with Joseph Stalin, in World War II.
Well, those are all true facts, as long as they're presenting them as facts and not saying how much better we would be if he didn't go talk to him. I don't know.
You know what? And one thing I heard a lot at different times, he never started a war. He never nuked anybody. It didn't happen.
Not yet.
Well, 7 days. We'll know. But it didn't happen.
Well, now I think those choices have been taken away from
him. But I remember before he was elected, one of the big things that the Hillary Clinton kept saying, Madeleine Albright came on this show and said it, and I believe Al Franken did as well, he can't have the nuclear codes. This man has terrible temperament. Well, it never happened.
I don't think he had enough ambition to push the button in.
The wall was never built.
No.
The Obamacare was never rescinded. You know, it never...
Kinda.
The penalty was taken off.
Yeah, it was kind of weakened.
Right, but it's still there. So, you know, I don't know the things that people knocked him for the most in the beginning. I don't know that he ever followed through with. Now, maybe...
I don't think he follows through with anything.
Well, there you go.
I think he pass it along to somebody else. And now nobody wants to do his bidding. So who do we have running the government anymore? I just don't see it.
Well, the country survived. We can say that.
We did survive.
We did survive. All right. Dr. Feinman and Glenn coming up in 15 minutes. And don't forget, Nate Redmond today at 4 and Trinity Baptist at 6. Stay tuned to this station for much more broadcasting.
Quavery were good shortcuts. So I came out. I said, Reddy, I want to tell you something. Mr. Sullivan, it has been on television 11 years. This is his anniversary. And there's a reason why he's been on 11 years. He don't sing, he don't dance, he don't tell jokes, he don't do anything. That's why he's been up. Well, he got crazy. Heard that.
Oh,
after the show, he